We're wrapping up our series today on Kingdom Treasures, and so we welcome you back. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this message on Kingdom Treasure, on your spiritual truths, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon each person. Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to recognize and live as citizens of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, he was not referring to a geographical area. It's not earthly. If you remember, Jesus said in the book of John that his kingdom is not of this world. And in the Greek, kingdom means sovereignty and rulership. So the kingdom of heaven is a place where God has full rule and reign. Kingdom is the king's domain. And in Romans 14, 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And that's where we want to live, in the righteousness and the peace and the joy of the Lord. Because when Jesus Christ is the king of our life and he is ruling, that is the fruit that comes out of our life. Because his kingdom is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So where God's authority and sovereignty and rulership is recognized, that's what we receive. You'll see the righteousness, peace, and joy. When Satan comes in with the kingdom of darkness, what do you see? You see chaos. You see violence. You see lawlessness. And so we can recognize quickly how different the world should look from the church. Amen? So the reality of God's kingdom becomes clearer and clearer as we understand his scripture. And I believe his disciples began to understand it more and more as Jesus ministered here on the earth. In Matthew 4:17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom is at hand.'" And so from that time, the gospel of the kingdom was preached. It was from the time that John the Baptist was killed. And it was after Jesus came out of the wilderness, John the Baptist was killed, and then Jesus began his ministry preaching the kingdom of God. And so when he started it, he didn't go to people that were highly educated. He didn't go to the elders. He didn't go to the priests or religious organizations. He went down to the fishermen to gather his followers. So Jesus used powerful word pictures and parables to teach his fishermen, his disciples, life-changing truths. And we're going to take a look at another one of them this morning. But first, we'll review. The kingdom is worth any price, and that no matter what we have to give up to live in relationship with Jesus, it's worth it. That's the first thing we learned. The second thing was God's kingdom starts small but grows to make a major impact in the world around us. And last week we learned when the kingdom of God is planted in the hearts of faithful Christians, it takes root and it produces a wonderful harvest in them and through them. That's what Gabe was talking about this morning. Jesus working through us. And if we recall in Matthew chapter 13, this is just a little review. It's prior to that message, but you can keep that up there. The disciples ask him why he was continuing to speak in parables to people when he was out teaching. There was a shift in Jesus' teaching when he began to speak in parables. And Jesus responded to them and said, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so today, as we take a look at this, we pray that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, that this message will impact our lives, that it will help us live more like citizens of the kingdom and to be a part of God's team. You know you're on God's team? Yeah, you know you're in God's army, right? Yeah. When you said, yes, Lord, you got drafted. Hallelujah. So we're all on the winning team, amen? We're on the winning team. So the imagery that Jesus uses in this passage is one that Apostle Leonard loves because he loves to fish. He's a fisherman. Does anyone else like to fish? A few guys here? Some ladies like to fish, yes? I like to eat them. So, you know what we learn in the scripture? God is a fisherman. He uses this. Jesus gives this parable to say that the kingdom of heaven is like a net. And let's take a look at that scripture. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. And this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the burning furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net, the people around him knew exactly what he was talking about because this is something that they saw every day. You know, now we fish with rods and reels, and it looks a little bit different, but the kingdom of God is like a net. And though most people today fish with the rods and reels, the people in the ancient times, they knew about this, and they knew the work that went into it. Because the fishermen would cast that net out, and it would take a whole team of guys to be able to pull that net in when they caught their fish. It took teamwork. Tell your neighbor, it took teamwork. Jesus, when he casts out his net, it is for everyone. All the fish that they can gather. They weren't worried about a particular kind, and I know Pastor Leonard, he'll like to fish for particular kinds of fish, but this isn't what Jesus was concerned about. That's not what the fishermen were concerned about. They were just concerned about getting fish because that is how they fed their family. That is how they paid their bills, and this was their livelihood, and it was hard work. And so when you look at this net, it looks like it's made up of one continuous string that's woven together to make a tool that can catch fish. But actually, it's several pieces of string or rope that are tied together to make a strong net for many fish. And when you read the scripture, you'll see many times that the fishermen are mending their nets so that they don't lose fish in them. And when you think about this analogy that Jesus was using, the kingdom of heaven is made up of people just like you and me. And each person that's decided to follow Jesus is a different strand that can be woven together to make a way to reach others who are far from God. So when the church works together to share God's love, through friendship, through service, through invitation, love, we are doing the work of God. We're doing the work God called us to do. And we are the net. And that is what the Lord wants us to see in that. We are the net that God is casting to fish for souls. Many of us are guilty of only spending time with people who look like us, who think like us, who vote like us, and who act like us. And when we do this, we have missed one of the fundamental truths about God's kingdom. Because it's like a net that when it is let down, it catches all kinds of fish. So it's an open invitation to come and experience the love of God. And I was glad I saw Angie come in this morning because she shared a testimony with us yesterday at Deborah Troop. She is an evangelist, and she has her own way of reaching people. We all have different ways of reaching people. It could be acts of kindness. It could be repairing something. It could be putting up a fence, you know. It can be all kinds of things, making a dish for somebody. There are so many ways that we can reach people. But Angie just has, she's got it down, what works for her the best. And do you mind coming up and sharing that story with the church this morning? And she has a story. I think she shared three with me last week. Three encounters that she had that she was testifying about the goodness of God to people. I put you on the spot, but I know you can do it. Thank you. Okay, hold it close to your mouth.
It's a good spot. So every time I go out, there's an ocean of fish out there, and I just can't help myself. I just talk to people, you know, and so... last week, she brought me some tomatoes, and so I had this bunch of tomatoes that I had to work up, and I wanted to make tomato juice, and it called for celery, so I didn't have any celery. So I stopped at this one store on my way home, which I usually never stop there, and I just ran in and got celery, and I came out, and the guy in the truck next to me had his window down. It was a nice day, so I just said, you know, it's a beautiful day or whatever. He said, yeah, but I got to get my knees replaced. And I said, oh. And he started telling me his life story about the abuse that his dad gave him whenever he was a kid, and as a result, he has bad knees now. Like, he went into detail about what his dad did. And so then he is, like she was saying, there's all different kinds of fish in the net. This guy was Mexican, and he started telling me he has such a hatred for, like, prejudice. And people would call him a spick or a wetback, and it would put him into a rage. And he would just beat him up. So he got called before a judge, and the judge said, well, why are you beating people up? He said, because they call me a wetback and a spick. And that judge said, this is years ago he was telling me, and the judge told him, well, you are, and you're going to jail for a long time for beating these people up. And so that put such a hatred in his heart. But God intervened in his life. When he got out, somebody that was wealthy needed some help, and he got a job doing landscaping. And the guy must have been a Christian because he told him, it says, it doesn't matter what people call you. That's not who you are. And it totally softened the guy's heart and changed him. And so he became a really good worker for this guy. And he said, I went to a bar one more time, and somebody started that in on me. And from that day forward, it didn't bother me anymore. And I said, well, you really have to forgive your dad. He said, I have forgiven my dad. He said, but I would like to tell him what he did to me is really causing me problems now. And so, I mean, this was just like I'm getting in my car, and this whole conversation went on. And then... so I have these tracks in the door of my car. So everywhere I go, I try to give people a track. So it was a Billy Graham track on Peace with God. So the guy that he was with was getting in the car, and he looked pretty rough. And I was like, well, you know, I feel like this guy kind of had it right with God. I said, well, here's a track, and maybe you and him can read it. I said, have a good day. So that was like pretty intense for just getting in my car, but it happens like everywhere I go. I just can't help myself.
That's awesome. Thank you, Angie. She's got lots of stories. She evangelizes wherever she goes. Amen. And she uses the tracks, and she wanted to know if we would be interested in going to, it's in New Paris, right? What's the name of the company that makes the tracks? Missionary Press, that's what it is. Is it in New Paris, Indiana? Yeah, yeah. If we would be interested in going and seeing how they make the tracks and pick up some tracks. And some of you that have been in the river for years, you know, we planted our church on evangelism. And I think it was before COVID. We had a whole table of tracks and things that you could use to reach people. Not everybody likes to hand out a track, but if that is something that works for you, is there anyone here interested in taking a field trip and going? Okay, you see some hands. What is there? There's one Saturday. There's only one, right, that they're doing a tour. Do you remember what that date was, Angie? Was it? I know it was in November. I was thinking it was closer to my daughter's birthday. Her birthday's the 6th. Yeah, it was close to her birthday. My sister's birthday's the 5th, yeah. But anyway, that first Saturday in November, that, if I'm right. And what time was the tour, do you remember? 1 to 3. So anyone that's interested, or if you're listening online and you're interested in going, it would be nice to have a tour of that and to pick up some fresh tracks that we can use in this season to share the good news of the kingdom. Amen. Thanks again, Angie. I appreciate you sharing that. So when we think about this parable, on the shore, after they pulled all of the fish in, there's this massive number of fish that's on the shore, and they begin dividing them up. And the fish that are kept are like the souls of those who respond to the overwhelming love, grace, and forgiveness that's offered by God through his kingdom, which is what Angie experienced when she talked to this man. He had experienced that love and that forgiveness. And these individuals will live with God for all of eternity, and their sin will be washed away. And this is the reason Jesus came in the first place. And then the parable said the other fish will be thrown away. And this represents the souls of the people who reject the offer of salvation that's given to them by God. And in rejecting his kingdom, then they spend eternity without God. So my thought was, we need to fish like someone's life depends on it. And if you heard that in Angie's voice, when she goes out, there's a whole sea of souls. There's a whole sea of fish, an ocean of fish, I think she said, to reach. And you know, God chose just ordinary fishermen, but they turned the world upside down. So the question would be, what do you have to offer? God is looking for people who are willing to help, who are willing to get in there and fish like someone's life depends upon it. You know, he's looking for people that have skills and gifts and can do things for people, but also looking for people who are able to, you know, like Angie, I don't think she's ever met a stranger. She just talks to them. And, you know, once you open up that door, you're amazed at what you learn from a person that you can pray for them about. Because people are looking. They're lonely. This is a tough time that we're living in. People are stressed when they get their utility bills. Have you noticed utility bills have gone up? Gas might have went down a little, but electric didn't go down any. You know, you look at these things, and some people are just living just from paycheck to paycheck, working two jobs to just make ends meet. A kind word helps so much. A kind smile helps so much. So the parable kind of feels like a harsh lesson that Jesus is giving. However, we have to remember that God desires that the whole world is saved. He's not willing that any perish. God does not make that decision. People make that decision. Because every one of us are free to choose whether we will serve the Lord or not. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So God is patient. He's always offering grace. And when I think about patience, I think about fishermen just sitting out in their boat waiting for a fish to bite. It's pretty exciting when the fish bites, but you got to be patient. And you have to be quiet, right? Not a lot of noise. That's always the challenge of taking kids with you. Be throwing something in the boat, standing up. Yeah. Some of you have taken children fishing. We always took a family vacation and went fishing. But now we're in a different fishing business, right? Yeah, and we're all in it together. And that's what this parable is about. So let's take a look at when Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee and he called his fishermen, these fishermen, to come follow him in Matthew 4, 18 to 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. So Jesus found these two brothers fishing, and immediately they were willing to follow Jesus and leave their business. And so you know God was working in their heart to say, "Yes, Lord," so quickly. And they desired to be with Jesus and to learn from Jesus. And he said, "Come follow me." He was saying, "Come learn from me. Come spend time with me. Come be a part of the kingdom of God." Jesus was offering to be their rabbi or their teacher and for them to be his disciples or students. And the goal of every disciple was not just to know what the rabbi knows, but to be able to do what the rabbi does. So Jesus came into the world to spread the net, and he wanted others to help him reach the world. And so actually, when you think about it, Jesus was giving these two fishermen a new identity. He was putting them into a new occupation of being fishers of men and giving them a new identity. He's giving them a fresh start. And isn't that what happens when we come to the Lord? We all get a fresh start and a new beginning. And whether you realize it or not, you become a fisher of men. And if you're not a fisher of men, then my question would be, are you really following Jesus? Because when we look at this parable, he said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." So if you're not out fishing for men, then are you really following Jesus? That was a challenging question the Holy Spirit asked me. Then are you really a follower if you are not out there fishing? And we can fish at 7-Eleven, right? 9-11, 7-11, it's pretty close. But Jesus gave them a new identity because they were doing something they had never done before. And when you come into the kingdom of God, you can find yourself doing things that you have never done before. Hallelujah. So are you fishing every day would be the question. Leonard has a plaque in our room that says, "I would rather be fishing." And I thought about that. When you apply that into the kingdom of God, of course, we would rather be fishing than doing anything else. We'd rather be useful. Like Gabe said, use us, Lord. Use us. I said, we used to sing that song, "Jesus, Use Me." And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And then when you get in the midst of the work and you think about that, the Lord reminded me one day that how often I sang that song, and I meant it sincerely. But sometimes you get into the work of the Lord and you think, well, I didn't want you to use me this way. I didn't want this job. Have you ever felt that way? I don't want this job. Even in the natural, when you're working and they want you to do something, it's like, well, I don't really want to do that job, but we do them anyway. It's what we're supposed to do. So are we willing to follow Jesus and be fishers of people? Are we willing to share the goodness of the Lord with others? I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll get ready to come up and get ready for our closing song. We have something that the world desperately needs, and many people don't even know it. But once you begin to talk with them, the anointing of the Lord flows through you. I was sharing with the team this morning, you know, Holy Spirit, use us. Break up those rivers of living water that are on the inside of us and let the river flow out of us today. And that is what happens. Jesus uses us in ways that we don't even realize, because a lot of times when you talk to someone, you walk away, you might think it was an insignificant conversation or comment that you made, but it makes a difference to them. It makes a difference to them. And just recognizing how God wants to use us in these days that lie ahead. And as a church, how He wants to use us to reach our community with the good news of Jesus Christ. And not only the good news of Jesus Christ, but to be an active part of what God is doing. Being an active part of what God is doing in your neighborhood. What He's doing in the workplace. What are you in the middle of that you can influence and make a difference in? God positions each one of us for purpose, and it's His purpose. And in the midst of that, you know, God never forgets what you need. He never forgets your concerns. He never forgets what you're struggling with and what you're going through. But He did say, if you seek me first, seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, He adds all these things unto us. So as we move forward in the kingdom of God and understanding these spiritual truths, we want to be useful to God and useful to one another. You know, it's all about loving God and loving others. It's about being that friend that you can help someone out. Do a favor for someone. We talked about that yesterday in Deborah Troop, how important that is to have a support, a group of people around you that support you, that are there for you, that will pray with you and lift you up before the Lord and your family and your situation. Tell your neighbor, you can't do this alone. God never intended for us to try and do this alone. He intended for us to be connected one to another. Just like we saw the net, it was all connected. We are connected. We are God's net, and He is casting us out, sending us out to catch fish. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your presence, and thank You for this word today. Lord, I pray that You continue to water, continue to teach us, Lord, as we go about our daily lives, Lord. Let them count every day. Let us use the time that You've given us, Lord, to make an impact, make a difference in someone else's life. Lord, and I thank You, Father, that You make the difference in ours. And thank You for our family and our friends and our spiritual friends and our spiritual family, God. Thank You for every member. Lord, bless us and strengthen us and draw us closer to You and to one another, Lord. And I thank You, Father, that we are a mighty force in the earth because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.